There we go. Okay, we are recording, so no pressure. So this is the Fortnightly Astrology featuring Fiona Edgar and Thomas Sheridan and little me from Radiant Creators, Craig. And we're going to look at 2021, what Fiona and Thomas see happening in 2021, what the psychic weather is heading into that time. Also, we're going to do some tarot for that year, and we're going to look at the stars. Fiona's going to do that. So whoever would like to start first, I'm glad you're both here. And Fiona, actually, are the stars a good place to start this for 2021?
Yeah, you know what? We actually have a really important alignment coming up. It's a conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. And it's really rare, so it only happens every 20 years. So this is actually happening on the winter solstice, December 21st. And I included this because it's really going to affect the next 20 years, especially the next year ahead. It's a cycle that we're starting. So the conjunction is actually a major turning point in the structure of society and civilization. And the planets are going to be in the sign of Aquarius. So Aquarius is all about freedom. It's about breaking down existing structures. It's going to get a bit sci-fi, okay? I have heard some people talking about this conjunction as if it's going to bring a new golden age. We're definitely not yet there yet, so we have to be prepared for some weirdness. We're already seeing that in terms of like Facebook, when you know, you talk about something and then it pops up on your newsfeed and an ad. I'll just be honest, I think of something like completely random and it turns up in my newsfeed. Like that happens to me a lot. We really have no idea about the level of technology that they have. I think it's far beyond what we could even imagine. So we should expect to see more weird AI stuff. But also, I did look at the chart of Facebook, and a lot of it is in Aquarius. So I actually made a prediction like 6 months ago, maybe. There's a video on my channel that we're kind of looking at the demise of Facebook because of all the weirdness, the censorship. I think they actually have ongoing litigations happening over in your country, Craig. I heard some things about that. But it really is the start of a new cycle globally. And it's a spiritual conjunction. It's going to definitely contribute to the expansion of our consciousness. So the other thing that I want to look at is that Jupiter and Saturn, since Jupiter is going to be in Aquarius for all of next year, it spends about a year in each sign. And Jupiter is called the Great Benefic. It's all about expansion, optimism, spirituality, learning. And in Aquarius, we can see some really good progress in terms of, I guess, the ability for the average person to free themselves from the matrix. You know, that's definitely coming in. And Jupiter is going to be sextile to Chiron. Chiron is the wounded healer. It's where our deepest wounds lie. So that's going to be different for each individual. But right now, Chiron is going to be transiting through the sign of Aries for the next several years. And that's really an identity wound. Who am I? What is my identity? What do I do every day? You know, am I working in an office and I'm not, you know, being creative? I'm not being spiritual. I'm not looking beyond my cubicle every day. So that's really going to change for a lot of people. And it's actually a really positive aspect. There is some tricky stuff coming next year. I don't expect it to be anywhere near as bad as this year, so don't worry about that. I think we've really been through the worst. Jupiter is going to be square Uranus three times next year. So the first square, a square is a difficult aspect for anyone that doesn't really know about astrology. It's a clash. It's two different areas of your life that are just not meeting. There's an imbalance there. It can cause conflict with other people, the government, your job. So this square between Jupiter and Uranus, it's going to, first of all, represent the financial crash that's coming. And I don't like saying that, but you know, like, you have to be real. There, a lot of people are going to start rebelling. So they're going to try and drag this situation out for as long as they possibly can. Let me just say, Saturn is going to be transiting through Aquarius for the next 2.5 years. It doesn't get any more socially distant than Saturn in Aquarius, because Saturn is all about limitations and being stifled and not being able to do the things that you want. And Aquarius is your freedom. You know, it's your friends, it's groups, it's your role in society. So we're all going to be feeling a bit limited, as we already are. That freedom of expression has been really curbed. So the good side of this is it's really a very spiritual energy that's coming in. It's about rebellion and freedom. People are really going to seek that. They're not going to take this stuff lying down, because I think anyone looking around them, you know, it's supposedly a pandemic. Where are they? Like, where are these people? I hardly know anyone. Personally, I think that I did have it, but it was like a flu. You know, I'm not the type of person that ever gets sick, really, but it was like a weird flu, but like, it's not warranting a lockdown. So I think we're going to see some uprisings. That's what we need. We've become so complacent, especially here in Ireland. I'm sure Thomas will agree with me. Like, people are so, they just, you know, sit at home, watch the news, and they're not fighting for their rights. There have been some really good protests. So the other tricky aspect that we have next year, Saturn is going to be square Uranus. So this is like notorious throughout history. It's been common amongst many finance sessions and crashes. It's happening at 7 degrees Aquarius. That's where Saturn will be. And Uranus is going to be at 7 degrees of Taurus. So there's going to be no more comfort zones. And I did predict this like last year, before all of this stuff started. Comfort zones are over now. You know, everything is going to be a bit chaotic and a bit crazy, but it's actually, I guess, the very highest spiritual reason for that is that we need to be kind of more aware than what we have been. So it's also going to bring more of the weird Antifa far left organizations that are trying to take over the West. So there's going to be a war against those people. I would expect to see them popping up in more countries, unfortunately, in the West. Saturn's also about karma. Okay? So whether you believe in karma or just an energy that you put out into the universe, you're going to receive that in return. So whatever it is that you've been doing, like for the last several years, you know, it could be good things or maybe not so good things. You're going to reap that, especially in the coming year, because Saturn is very prominent in the astrology. So in April, we have a Pluto retrograde, and Pluto really is the planet of psychology. It's the great destroyer, the transformer. It deconstructs existing governments and thought processes. Is a very powerful planet. When it goes retrograde, first of all, the external power from the government eases back. So that's what we saw this year when it came into like May, April. The lockdowns and quarantine situations they kind of eased up a bit. So this, I really expect this to be going on, at least over here. It depends on who's president over where you are, Craig. Mm-hmm. But over here, they're going to keep this up until the springtime. So then in May, Jupiter actually enters Pisces for a brief dip. So this is when we see the propaganda machine. It's going to be relentless. So Pisces is all about illusions. It can be very deceptive, but at its highest vibration, it's very spiritual. So there's going to be a really beautiful spiritual energy that comes in then, but it's really up to the individual to make of that what they will. So you can go, you can fall for the deception and the lies and watch the news, or you can make a lot of progress in your own spiritual work, the great work. So I think we're all being to do the great work in these next couple of years. So let's see, we have the usual Mercury retrogrades next year. We always have those three times a year. Nothing to panic about. It's just stuff that we need to kind of review and redo. In 2021, it's all going to be in air signs. So the first one's in Aquarius. And then in May, we have a Mercury retrograde in Gemini. And then at the end of the year, it's Libra. So it's all about the intellect. What way do you think? Where do you get your information? How do you communicate? How do you communicate within your partnerships? In December, oh, you'll be pleased to know that we have another Venus retrograde.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so this time it's in Capricorn, and it's really going to be about finances. Capricorn is a sign that's focused on material security. And of course, that will affect our love lives. Then the other important thing in December is that the nodes. So in astrology, we have the North Node and the South Node. The North Node is where we should be going. It's an area that we haven't really conquered, and we need to work with that to be complete. The South Node is an area that we have much experience in, but it's also the comfort zone. And when the nodes shift, it's a big deal because our priorities change. So the nodes are shifting. The North Node is going to be in Taurus. Taurus is about stability. It's about financial security. And, you know, like a happy marriage, a happy home, enough money in your bank accounts, just feeling secure in your life. The thing is that the nodes are actually malefic. So it's a very difficult area, whether it's the North Node or the South Node. The North Node can be a difficult area to reach. The reason why it's going to be difficult is obvious. It's because we're going to come into a financial recession. How can you be comfortable in your job when you don't have one? Mm-hmm. How can you have enough money in the bank? But if we all work with those energies, and the key to surviving the next year is that you must not resist any form of transformation. You know, if your marriage is over, let it go. If you've lost your office job, maybe it's time that you tap into something really creative and really new. Because despite everything that's going on, there are still opportunities. Write that book that you never, like, you've been meaning to all these years, but you didn't have the time for it. So that's pretty much it for next year. Those are the major aspects that I concentrated on. So it's a mixed bag, but lots of good stuff coming in.
All right. So that is quite a lot to, I'll have to go through and listen to that again and take notes. But I think, you know, I believe Thomas has mentioned this too, Facebook kind of reading your mind. I've had the same experience where you're thinking about something and then it pops up marketing it to you, and you're sure you haven't, like, I usually don't talk to myself out loud, although sometimes I do, but usually I think to myself quietly. And yeah, so Facebook, that is an eerie thing. There's something going on with that where it does seem to be marketing to our thoughts. And you mentioned they might run into legal problems, you know, legalities. Well, just now, like yesterday or today, I think there's somebody in our Senate, I believe, pushing legalities towards Facebook. And it seems a lot of states are picking up on that. So that is definitely just starting to happen. And I'm happy with the comfort zone being over. That sounds good because it hasn't done anyone any good yet. So, well.
Never does.
Yeah, good. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it never does. A comfort zone never does any good to anybody.
Yeah, it's kind of a comfort pit. You know, like once you fall in that pit, you want to climb out of it, you know. And, okay, well, this is usually where we do, Fiona does tarot for the year. But is there any commentary that we have on 2021 before we do that? I guess Thomas would be good for tarot at this point if there's nothing to that anybody wants to mention before that.
Well, I'd like to talk about what Fiona said. In 2016 was a very good year for oracles because it allowed me to decide and find out who the fakes and the real people working divination, whether it's tarot or astrology, was, because nobody within the tarot field or the astrology field said that Trump would be president. And the ones who did, like Fiona and a few others, I know, are the only people I trust now, because the other ones proved themselves that they didn't know what they were doing. They're dishonest readers and they're dishonest oracles. So Fiona was one of the ones who said that Trump would be president. And so did some others I trust. So that was like a great thing. It was almost like, there you go, there's your lab test there to see who to stick with. Now, the amazing thing is, I did a tarot reading right a week before the 2016 presidential election on the Lou Collins show. And it was Trump, they just bang. It was like, when the New York Times was saying that 90% of the vote would be for Hillary Clinton, it was just Trump there as clear as anything. So it was like a powerful man with a strong family commitment, very successful. It was him. It was male. It was an extremely male reading. And so that was almost like a watershed in the world of divination. We discovered who the real astrologers are and the real tarot card readers. That's why so many of the fakes scrapped the video they made on YouTube saying that Hillary Clinton would win by a landslide. So it was a great education that. Now, continuing on from that, the two or three astrologers who I still respect, along with Fiona, all concur with what Fiona just said to us. It's ironic. It's almost spooky, actually. I mean, and one of the things they said was, between now and 2016, you know, we're not out. 2026. Mm-hmm. We're not out of it yet. We're not out of it. It's like a cement mixer, and we've all been thrown into it. And there's a kind of a false assumption that because of, you know, we went through this 2020 year, that 2021 is going to be an easy ride. You know, we've all like paid our dues or something, you know. Well, you know, anything else, when a relationship falls apart or a business falls apart or a friendship falls apart or your plans fall apart, it doesn't immediately get better. You have to kind of pick up the runes and rebuild, you know, like from the destroyed city that is you, you know, your in the terms of your psyche. And so, not being an expert, but following people like Fiona and similar to Fiona, what I've got gained from this is it ties in beautifully with the latest adjustments to the Kali Yuga among the Brahmins in India and Sri Lanka, who I talked to, and they brought the Kali Yuga forward to 2026, the end of the Kali Yuga. So also in 2026, we will have reached a similar stage in history, a very rare stage, in terms of conjunctions, where we'll be, and Fiona might correct me on this, where it'll be very similar to 500 BC, when the Oracle of Delphi and the rise of classical pagan Greece began in the classical mm-hmm. world, and the greatness of that time. And this ties in with this prediction I've been making for a while, that a second Renaissance is coming. It's like going to come in the morning. Looks like the first Renaissance back in the 16th century didn't come in the morning. It started slowly, and it started slowly during periods of turbulence as the late Middle Ages came to an end. And we're sort of like, I think, in that we're right now in the same era of the late Middle Ages. That again, we have the same problems. We have religious fanaticism. We have plagues. We have social turmoil. We have breakdowns in cities. We have insecurity in the countryside. We have the aristocrats trying to impose greater restrictions upon the serfs that they did back then. Nowadays, it's the Great Reset. They want to microchip us. They want to give us chemicals. They want to do all kinds of nonsense to us. So it really is, you can really see that just like the pagan worldview is, and the Hindu worldview is, everything happens in cycles. You know, within the yugas, there's also smaller cycles that repeat, like almost like, you know, that game we played when we were kids, Spirograph, and you put the pen in and you drew it around. You got circles and circles. It's like that. And it operates the functions of the universe. So that's, I'm totally down with what Fiona just said. It's true. Having said that, I think the most important part is what she said at the end. Okay, things are going to go to crap a bit more. It's not going to be World War III or anything, but it'll be, in some ways, it's kind of worse. It's like the 1950s. So I saw an interview with Roger Daltrey from The Who, and he said that his parents loved World War II because they were busy and had things to do, but hated the 1950s because there was nothing to do and they were still broke and still poor and still in poverty. So they had no sense of destiny. So, as Fiona said about creativity, as we enter into this turbulent, miasmic phase, get creative, get on that big time. Like she said, if you've ever wanted to learn how to be a painter, become a painter. If you want to, if you're interested in music and you want to start a band or make an album, do it. Write a book, do it. Anything like that. Get projects like that. Throw yourself into creative things, even if they're only hobbies, because this is the time. Remember what you said earlier on about, you know, mediocrity and comfort doesn't create anything use. I mean, I often do is look at Ireland. You know, in the 1970s and 80s, this island was a mess. Yet we pumped out amazing bands, you know, we pumped out amazing movies. Creativity was flying. And then we got like everything turned out okay. And then it was all awful boy bands. You know, it was like that's a classic example of it to put it into a simplistic thing. But yeah, it's like there's a passage in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna says, why do good people suffer? And Krishna turns around and says, a diamond is only polished by an abrasive wheel. And that's the way we should look at the next few years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned conflict. A lot of people right now are just so certain and they're worried about or they're looking forward to conflict, like a World War III between, you know, the United States and Russia and or China. And at least myself, I just don't see it happening. I don't think it benefits anyone. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Do you see that in 2021? I just don't see a global conflict, even though many are calling for it. I just don't see it.
With China, I have looked at their chart. So, countries have a birth chart as well as humans. And they do have some like tricky stuff coming up at the beginning of the year. I don't think it's war. It's more like sanctions or restrictions to do with trade. You know, it's got to do with their finances, the well-being of their country. So, you know, that could be because Trump gets in and does something, like he said he would. But yeah, I don't really think that there is going to be a global war. I hope not, anyway.
I think if there's a war, it'll be, and it involves China, it'll be something like a regional conflict with India. India and China have a long history of hostilities. And India, there was a skirmish there on the border recently where some Indian soldiers were killed by the Chinese. They accidentally wandered into their own territory by mistake, because it's all, you know, it's Himalayas, it's all mountains. But if China was to get involved in a conflict, it would probably be with someone like India. India is at a point in its history now where it's trying to assert itself as a potential superpower. They built themselves up now to where China was in the 80s. So they're looking at, you know, by the 2000s, India is ready to become a major superpower. That's another reason I don't think we'll have wars. In the past, we had the United States and you had the USSR and not much else. Well, now you have other huge militaries in the world, such as China, such as Iran, such as and Pakistan. You know, these are major, massive militaries. And the battlefield is not so easy anymore. It's not as easy as it used to, straightforward, if you like, America versus communism or communism versus capitalism. It doesn't work like that, especially as you see the encroachment of Bolshevism, especially into Europe through the European Union and sort of like extreme cultural Marxism in the United States via the social justice kind of agenda. And, you know, like you know, if there was a war now between communism and capitalism and those of us living in the European Union, well, Fiona's free in a few weeks, but almost certainly the European Union would be on the side of the communists at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know about a larger global conflict. I agree with you guys. I don't quite think we're going to see the global conflict. I mean, and here in America, one thing that is happening, there was a great TV show called Jericho, and you probably found it on Netflix. It's still around, and it's about sort of, in that scenario, China attacks us. There's a war going on. We're EMP'd and all this. And it's a couple seasons, and it's really great about kind of how society rebuilds itself here in America. It's very Hollywood, but everyone rallied around Texas. Texas was the first state that basically became functional and sort of led the rally. And something I'm seeing now is one of the people in state legislature, or it might have been in our House and Senate, I forget who it was now, but from Texas started a legal case with the Supreme Court to contest the election, just basically pointing at voter fraud in a few states and saying that there's no way to definitively know who won because there's obviously fraud and there's plenty of proof. And now we've got, I think, like 13 states jumping in. And so when you look at what's happening right now, if you go back to pre-Civil War years here in this country, you had irreconcilable differences between states and people took sides. And a lot of it's kind of lost to history. It's kind of a bit of our hidden past, you might say. But the same thing is happening again. Now we have irreconcilable differences in this country. And it's funny that there was a show called Jericho. And now something very similar is happening. Texas is leading the way and rallying states, and we'll see how it turns out. I don't see it as a violent conflict, but definitely I think in this country, as we go into 2021, we're going to see maybe a return to some state identity. That's one of our biggest problems here in America, is we've been losing our state identity, where Arizona used to be like cowboys, you know, and rednecks and stuff like that. And now we're not so much. So I do see conflict within this country. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's rather eerie that we are so reminiscent of pre-Civil War. But we'll see how it goes. I don't think it's going to be super violent or anything, but never know. We could see skirmishes in 2021. We'll see what happens. But we are repeating history in this country at this time.
That makes a lot of sense. Just because Pluto, the United States is kind of building up to its Pluto return. Pluto is a very slow moving planet. It takes 240 years to make one turn of the birth chart. So obviously no human is ever going to experience their Pluto return, but countries will. And the United States is building up to that. That's what we're seeing. It's the complete polarization of the country, you know? There's not really any middle ground left. It's people that have values, and then these kind of like lefty nut jobs that are just insane. And there's a darkness at the moment from the spirit world. Thomas, I told you about some of my experiences, but people are having these really intense spiritual experiences that are quite scary at the moment. So the spirit world reflect the energy of what we are creating and building in this reality.
Another thing I would like to throw into this mix.
Yes.
That's teetering in the background through my own oracles is the potential of an EMP from the sun, a massive solar flare that energizes in the upper atmosphere and causes an enormous electromagnetic pulse that wherever on the earth facing the sun when this happens, it's basically going to be knocked back to the 1800s. Now, suppose it happened when the United States is in the middle of the daytime. That's the end of the US as a power. It's gone. It's over. Every machine basically will stop working that was built after 1950s. If it happened in Russia, they'd have a better chance because they have built in contingencies for an EMP. In fact, I was reading an article on a website about the Russian military, And they have both digital and analog systems built into their, all their military equipment, including their latest fighter jets and battleships, that if an EMP happened, they have it so well shielded and so well protected, they could switch from a digital system to an old-fashioned analog system. And this is something that in the West has not made any contingency for. There's been no deep burial of servers or anything. This is the narcissism of Silicon Valley, which stretches like here to Ireland. I mean, Dublin is like after San Francisco, probably the main, you know, software computer place on earth in terms of all the companies, all our European headquarters are all here. There's a tremendous arrogance they have that they're indestructible. It's like we were talking about Facebook earlier on. Facebook will go eventually the way of MySpace and Tripod and GeoCities and all the rest of the thing. When we were very young, well, 20 years ago, what was on the internet then. And there's an arrogance in these people. There's a sense of indestructibility, but that may be a hubris cause that's waiting to be severely tested. Everyone who has hubris is eventually tested, even if they're a good person or a good entity. That challenge will eventually hit them to see just how much you, how good you are in some way in your life or some way in an entity. And if this EMP happens, if it happened over the Pacific, okay, it's not so bad because, you know, countries like New Zealand and Hawaii and places like that, parts of the Philippines, and they could be fixed, Alaska. But if it happened over Europe, East Asia or China area and or North America, it could be an absolute catastrophe in terms of world balance. So this is a thing that the sun is acting very odd again. It's not doing, you know, this whole thing, like we have the sun, it has cycles, and then suddenly the cycles go crazy and the scientists go, oh, why isn't the sun doing as science expected to do? Why isn't the universe behaving the way we want it to behave, or where our laws say it behaves? And so I would like to put the possibility in the next 6 years, and maybe this is how the previous yugas ended, or the Mayan baktuns, or even the, you know, the mythological cycles you have both in Celtic and Norse mythology, what really caused Ragnarok to sink, what really caused the two of the Danann to end up, the fleet or four cities of Yondas. And to put that, not possibility, but to throw that into the mix, and an enormous EMP from the sun.
And we're definitely likely for that to happen, in that we do have these, they vary in length, and some cycles converge on each other, but we do have our grand solar maximum and minimum cycles, and they're around 400 year cycles. And so the sun has a season of 11 years where it kind of has a winter and a summer. And right now it's going into a summer phase again, it's heating up, but we're in grand solar minimum. So it kind of goes, we have a long 400-year maximum, then a long 400-year minimum, this beautiful sine wave that goes. And right now we're entering a minimum. So even though the sun might be going upwards in its 11-year cycle, overall we're going down in solar intensity. And so our magnetosphere is weak. And so, coronal mass ejections and such that usually would not have been a problem may end up causing more problems than we've ever experienced. So
the fragile nature of modern electronics.
Yeah. So our little shields are getting weak. So
it's a perfect storm of catastrophe.
It is. Yeah. Cause even if we might get a big one, like if you get a big enough coronal mass ejection, enough energy comes from the sun, it actually will charge the poles and just wipe everything out. So all electronics go if it's big enough, but also, we could experience along the way that, you know, death by a thousand cuts, where we just keep getting grid problems and such like that, that and scientists don't understand why, or some don't understand why these solar flares that would not have been an issue before suddenly are, you know, people's trees are catching on fire. So it's going to be the interesting.
Last big one that happened was in 1830s, I think.
Yeah.
And it hit the United States, and the United States was facing the sun when it happened. And the United States it was in the early days of the telegraph system, so, you know, Morse code, and the railroads, and they had battery-operated lamps, very early battery-operated lamps on the front of locomotives and stuff. They were all destroyed. But what was quite disturbing was that the entire telegraph system across the United States was fried. Now, back then, you were talking about relays that would have been like this size, that carried like 110 volts through them, like 10 amps, you know, massive things. And now that's all compressed into a microchip that like carries a few, you know, microamps, and it's incredibly delicate. Now, if that thing from the sun destroyed a relay that was like this size, that was like made out of, you know, copper wire and cast metal, what chance does your iPhone have, you know?
I know. Yeah, really. Like a lightning strike wouldn't bother it, but that the keratin event definitely did. Okay, so do we want to move on to, before we move on to cards, one last question for you guys. I don't want to make it all about America, but that's how us Americans are. It's always all about us. Hey, Trump, what are you guys still thinking? Because I am of the persuasion that I have a hard time following all the news because there's just too much coming out. And it's interesting that we've learned so much about how our voting system works, et cetera, here in this country. But I just have this feeling, I really do, that I don't think the Trump crew would have pushed this if they didn't think they could win. That's just my take on it.
Astrology isn't fortune telling, but it gives us a good idea of mm-hmm. like the energy around events. And I've always said, like since last year, that I saw Trump winning because Biden's astrology is dire next year. I mean, yeah, and Kamala Harris, she went through some really bad transits a couple of weeks ago that like really did not look like a woman that was celebrating. In fact, she was probably at one of the lowest points in her life. So I will stick by what I said, that I project Trump to win. Trump is a maverick. No one can really project what he's going to do. He's an extremely intelligent man. He's always one step ahead of the game. And like you, I don't think that he would have pursued this if he didn't think that he would win. We have no idea what he's got up his sleeve. Mm-hmm. We only have bits and pieces that we pick up on through the alternative media, because the mainstream media are not covering really anything that kind of supports Trump. So yeah, I still think that Trump's somehow going to manage to pull it off.
To add to that, I worked on Wall Street myself for a good 7-8 years, and Donald Trump was never involved in any kind of bad investment deal or insider trading, anything like this. Now, a reason to understand this is when you see anomalies in the market. When you see anomalies in the stock market, you immediately know that fraud has been committed. So, you know, sudden changes. I was working for Kidder Peabody when a broker there called Joe Jett had basically sexed up the numbers. It destroyed the whole company. But people who were, the likes of Trump would have seen this by monitoring the numbers. Now, he would have viewed the election night counts the same way. He would have not looked for winnings. He would have looked for anomalies. And when those anomalies showed up in places like Wisconsin, that's very similar to an insider trading scam taking base an insider, you know, on the floor of some firm, when they suddenly bump up the stock out of the blue, out of nowhere. So he would immediately have not recognized the same patterns in trading fraud that he was seeing now in this election. In fact, it might have been very similar to something he encountered in the past that became a big scandal in Wall Street. And so therefore, that's how his mind would have been thinking. That, okay, when this has been uncovered by in the past in Wall Street, you know, the Federal Exchange Commission would have had immediately jumped on that and known there was insider trading, and then proceeded to investigate and eventually prosecute, as they did with numerous firms, while Trump was on his rise during the 80s. You've all seen the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen. And this is what makes Wall Street incredibly conservative after the 80s. You can have mavericks in every walk of life, except in big business, in terms of or artificial numbers, because it gets caught. The same thing happens in the election cycle. You can't have mavericks in vote counts, especially if it's electronic, when you have that jump at Wisconsin, where it literally went like this and like mm-hmm. that, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, that was clear as day, a fraud. No doubt about it. And every single ballot came back for him. And now this is repeated in several states. So therefore, he would not have thrown himself into this unless he knew he had a better than greater chance of winning. Mm-hmm. Because that's not how he, if you watch his, how he's functioned from day one, he, yeah, there's an element of gambling, but it's about how the dice is loaded. You know, you don't go into the casino with all your money and put it on two numbers. You play, and he's very much the man of that kind of man. And plus also he knew that the Democrats were in a psychological position that was very vulnerable. And when those numbers, and he was waiting for that. And so therefore, when it's sudden, they were convinced that they would cream him and destroy him on election night. And suddenly, not only is he winning enormous amounts of votes, way beyond what they suspected, he's also winning in areas where are predominantly African-American or Latinos. Now, Latinos in Cuba also, you know, they vote for Republicans anyway because of their history with communism. But Latinos in other states who are traditionally Democrats, it was like Reagan back in 1980, whenever he ran for election, when all the Irish Americans, who always nearly always voted Democrat, started voting Republican because they did not relate to the Democrat Party anymore. And the same thing happened with the Latinos with this last election with Trump. It was funny, and it happens in, you know, exactly 40 years later, you have the Latinos saying, does the Democratic Party really represent us or just use us? Or just, you know, play to us? This kind of thing, you know? And so they were almost like an ethnic minority in America that was coming of age, that they were starting to assert their own identity. Now, this would have caused a psychiatric breakdown within the Democratic Party as this news was coming in. And this whole thing, if they commit, well, I'm convinced they committed voter fraud mm-hmm. on a mass scale. It was literally a thing like, oh, Jesus, stop it, do something. And they got the voting machines and they put all these votes in for Biden. And that's what made Trump realize the combination of their psychological state and the fact that these trends made no sense, that there was a very good chance of him winning this. Now, I won't be as bold as Fiona and say he will win it. My heart tells me he will. But I also was up against some very dark forces. You're talking about the same people that killed JFK and Malcolm X and the same family and so on. And they, you know, they might not put a gun to his head, but they might put it to someone like Clarence Thomas's head. So, yes, absolutely, he should be president of the United States. If he's not, it'll be a travesty. But it will also, I fear a little bit for the United States if he's taken down. You know, politically, and Biden is installed, because there's going to be something like 72 million Americans who are furious.
Yeah.
And we're all going with Texas. Yeah. All right. So do we want to look at cards for 2021?
Okay. I have my deck here and I'll do a reading and then we'll see what happens. But like, I was thinking about this, I can't do readings for 2021. I even tried yesterday. I can't. Mm-hmm. So I thought up for this show, for you guys, what can we learn from 2020 with the pandemic and the lockdowns that can serve us going forward? Mm. So rather, you know, so it's almost like rather than looking at a prediction and saying this is what's happening, let's like look at something that could be an arsenal or toolkit to help us going forward. So you guys okay with that?
I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll just, I've already done the main shuffle. So I will just put the camera on the card so you can see I'm not lying to. So let me do this first. One, two, three, four, five, six, eight, nine, 10, 11. Okay. 11 and the last one. Okay, this is spooky.
Spooky's good.
As usual, it's going to be good. Let me get the camera over. I'll try and get the cards. Okay, we'll start with the, on this end of the scale, this is the negative side, the least problematic thing of 20 going forward. We have the Queen of Swords. In the negative, the Queen of Swords can be quite brutal, and we've had a brutal year. The Queen of Swords can also tend to be the person who cuts off maybe too easily, maybe a bit too harsh. Later on, realizes that this is probably a mistake. But that's the least problematic aspect of 2020. The next one is our good old friend, the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords, as we know, is as bad as it gets. But in the negative aspect on the left-hand side of the readings I do, this represents it's over. It's over. We've gone through the worst of it. So the worst of the Rona thing and the lockdowns, that's all going to diminish now. That's basic. We've basically been released from that. So that's a good thing. Now, then the Lover shows up in the negative. What did Fiona say? Your marriage is ending, or your relationship is ending, or your job is ending, just go with it. And there it is, you know, it's like false bond. And this is friendship as well. Remember, the Lover's card is not necessarily about men and women finding love and stuff. It's also about things like the balance of the anima and the animus, the male and female aspects of the psyche. Now, what did Fiona say about this SJWs and all these people getting more insane? They'll probably come up with 500 genders. You'll have men less likely to be assertive and manly and strong, and women moving into a more masculine position. And this is generally not a good thing. These kinds of things happened on the cusp of things like the French Revolution, which was a brutal revolution. It was not this wonderful thing that some people make out it was, that, you know, where the bourgeoisie were overthrown. It was basically a smash and grab raid by proto-communists in the Freemasonic movement, who used things like the Committee on Public Safety to basically make a police state. So hasn't that happened? So that's because of an imbalance of the anima and the animus, the male and female aspects of the psyche. And this also, in this negative position, represents that relationships should end. And that's not necessarily romantic. That's also friendships and partnerships and things like that are past their sell-by date. Now, that's the negative side. On the positive side, I get at the bottom, I've got the Judgment card. No, that's a calling. That's you're being held accountable. So we're probably going to see an element of behave themselves and who was held accountable during this. Now, one of the things I've come out of 2020 with more than anything else is that I realized how many men are absolute cowards. This was a big problem for me. And a thing that I found quite upsetting and disturbing is that the average Western male is a total and utter pussy. In general, as a coward, and they should have been defending themselves against the lockdown, they were behind. They were at home, flicking through the BBC and CNN, looking at the latest numbers. Your immune system is a kind of a masculine thing, either if you're a male or a female, because it represents defense within your physiology. So, you know, the pussies are going to be held accountable for being pussies. And this is quite a dark one. Now, the Queen of Cups arises in this. Now, the Queen of Cups is quite a beautiful card. It represents love and protection and stuff like that. But it can also represent dreaminess and superficiality. And beside that, I got the Page of Cups, funny enough, which also represents superficiality. So what we're probably being told here is to be honest you know, if you didn't do the right things through 2020, you were superficial, you were dishonest to yourself, you were dishonest to your emotions, to your emotional state, you probably need to get yourself together that way. And finally, right at the very top, and I'm quite surprised to see, this is the world card. This is absolute completion of things. So this ties in beautifully with the concept that we're finished a cycle, a cycle of consciousness. It's come to conclusion. Those of us who are willing to learn from the past will have a successful transition into the new eon that's coming. Those who don't, well, you know, they're in the lower world. But this is important that we, this is what this tells me, that if we do not learn the lessons and be honest about them, you know, did you, when you were in 2020, did you make mistakes in terms of believing everything the BBC said and going into panic modes? Is it a time for you to apologize to the people who said that it's overblown, it's all hype, it's a control system, this kind of thing? In a negative, this could also be the one world grid or something like that. But because if it ends up at the top as an insignificator, I would say for us, people like us, we're actually, and if we're honest to the things that we, how we behave during the year, that we're actually going to complete the cycle and we're going to get ourselves in a spiritual psychological state for the next phase that's coming in 2025, 2026. So all in all, a positive reading under one proviso. You own your own shit, mm-hmm. and you're honest with yourself. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. That was a fantastic reading. Thank you so much. It totally reflected the astrology. Like, isn't that amazing? You know, the whole Saturnian theme of karma, of owning your own shit. What did you do? Were you a coward? Did you sit inside and, you know, like, wear your mask and really comply, especially with, you know, to do with masculinity, healthy masculinity? You know, as a woman, a red-blooded pagan woman, like, I still want to be protected. You know, I still want to be honest, really lacking that in our society. So those people that don't honor either masculine or feminine divinity, they really are going to get such a, like, a heavy dose of shit next year.
I think there was a line in a Tennessee Williams play, where were you hiding when the storm broke? And yeah. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
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 But go ahead. You were saying that, sorry, I meant to interrupt you, the masculine female thing you were saying.
Yeah, I mean that's just pretty much it. The time has come to look into the mirror and who are you? What do you do? What are you contributing to the world? Either in a family.
Who are you meant to be?
Who are you meant to be? Yeah. And that's what we're going to find out.
Yep.
Because if you're being inauthentic, it's going to shatter. Your reality is going to shatter, a broken mirror in front of you. Yeah, so do your work.
Superficiality, avoiding it, and embracing true emotional integrity is extremely important. How do you really feel about the people? Well, we've all had that horrible education the last year that people we were friends with turned out to be a tremendous disappointment. You know, we've all been through, the 2020 was awful for that. I mean, people I thought were clued in turned out to be just terrified ninnies, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a painful lesson, but being honest with that. And I think what those cards, the Page of Cups and the Queen of Cups appearing on that is like, you know, get with the ones who are real.
Mm-hmm.
Who the it's real love, it's real affection, it's real support, as represented by cards, not and genuine compassionate information and not hysteria. This is a great time, and I'm sure Fiona agrees with me, and you probably too will, Greg. Get rid of the doom monkeys, get rid of the doom merchants, both mainstream and alternative, and move into, and you don't have as many, you have excuse me, airy fairy and all this stuff, but say, look, okay, I'm sick of hearing the bad news. I'm doing something about it. That's the attitude. Not going, oh, everything's gonna be wonderful. I'm doing something about it, and that's I think that's the message of the card. We're going to build our own world rather than waiting for the agents of fortune to bequeath us with what they want.
The Lover's card in that deck, as you drew the Lover's card, it made me think about how many people we've all lost this in 2020, like, because, and I think it's been very painful. Yeah. I mean, for me, I've been able to handle it, but it's even been difficult a few times for myself, where people that I thought were, powerful individuals ended up not being. And so I think many of us have lost so many people that it can make you start to doubt your own truth. And that's kind of been a real lesson for 2020 is, you know, finding the truth within yourself, finding the truth within your own wisdom, within your own, you know, research, meditation, your own soul, and hanging on to that, because we're living in a time where right now, I mean, how many people, I mean, do you yourselves know, like, has it happened to you or people that you know who literally have lost everyone? They're now by themselves and they have to rebuild a new fellowship because they lost family, friends, everyone, just because they were insistent on the truth. But this has been a time where you're a sword stuck into the hot coals, you're red hot, and you get pounded on by delusional people, by delusion, because it's so strong. People are so certain of delusion and falsehood right now that we've all been put in that furnace and beat on. And now you're stronger steel. But 2020 has definitely been difficult because, you know, for many people, losing family and friends is very difficult. And they lost all of them, you know?
Yeah.
And it does seem time to focus on that parallel society that Thomas has talked about in many of his videos, because I know for myself, one of the ways that I deal with this going into 2021 is really, I more and more put 100% of my focus into and my effort and my everything into the parallel society. That's really where I'm focusing. I have a foot in there and then a foot in this world. And I just look at it. This one does not have a future, but the parallel society does. And so I'm being a bit selfish and I'm just 100% focused. Effort, body, mind, and soul, everything into the parallel society. And that's what I do every day, is I pour all the energy and creativity into that, because that's the future that I see. And I just don't see that for the delusional and then the truth seeker, there are two different worlds about to split in half. And I want to be on the right side of it.
You want to be on your side of it, your reality.
Yes, my side of it. Mm.
We are developing into a sort of, I use the word tribe because it's a loose collective, but we are kind of developed, people like us have definitely formed into a faction that has the same focus. Okay, enough of the present matrix. We have to exist in it for lots of reasons, but at the same time too, piecemeal building a new reality. And you can be as esoteric as you want to be about this, talk about multiverses and, you know, parallel realities. But these things are true. And I believe there's very many, many, many things in history that shows this to be true, that all through history where parallel existences became new worlds. I think one would be like the beatniks becoming the hippies. I mean, that changed America, which was a very conservative, Puritan culture, away to something very different. And you had similar things happen in all kinds of cultures. Someone, eventually enough people said, you know what? Enough. Enough. And they started in their own little life breaking away, but not becoming like survivalists. They still had their jobs. But they said, you know what, I'm not going to care about this anymore. I'm going to focus on something. I'm going to pull out of this. And suddenly what you find is this remarkable thing that Joseph Campbell talked about, the hidden hand. Mm-hmm. And if you have this agenda like what you're doing, Craig, and it's pure to your heart, you know it's right. Every step you take forward, the universe will bring three steps to you. It wants to, like we've been told in Vedic sciences, It wants to fulfill your desires, but only if your desires are true. Mm-hmm. We're surrounded by a world of people who are fakes.
Yeah.
To the point where they even put up photographs of themselves on Snapchat and Instagram with all the filters where their eyes are a little bigger and their noses are short and their faces are like this. And they look at themselves in the mirror one day at the train station or the pub and they want to die because they see the truth. They're not going to make it. Unless, of course, if they change, everyone can find their own road, the path of the future. Hopefully many of them do. But that's the whole thing, is to say, for this crap, enough of this crap. And you know, be real, just be real and be kind.
Yeah.
And it'd be fine. You don't have to become like a punk rocker in the 70s, going, oh, I hate society, which was great at the time too, my lad. But nowadays, that's more like a case of, okay, I'm here, but I'm not of this. I mean, I always think about things like gypsies, the way gypsies exist in Western society, but they are in a different universe. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in a different universe. I mean, I was talking to a doctor in a hospital here who accidentally, a gypsy woman had an accident on the street and she went into labor. And they normally don't give birth in hospitals. And he said the gypsy baby literally walked out of her womb talking. You know, he had a full head of hair. And it made him realize that he said to me, they're like a different human. You know, that's because they're in this society, but they're outside of it at the same time too. And you can see the advantages of that also. You know, then what's perceived is very, very. I mean, when the Roma gypsy woman is on the bridge in Sligo, I'll always give her €2 because I know she'll curse me if I don't, and I deserve it. But I didn't show kindness. You know, I didn't show kindness. You know, and I walk down the streets anywhere in Ireland, the Roma gypsy woman was coming up the road next to me, and she sees me and she starts smiling because she knows through their collective unconscious that this is the guy who's on our side. And I mean, so I learned a lot from observing the Roma gypsies. And that's kind of like where we should be going. Of course, not with their culture, that's their culture, but in our own kind of way. There's proof that they built a parallel society. We can do the same.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's any last thoughts, let's definitely hear them. Other than that, like I will meet you guys in the parallel society as we move into 2021.
Yep.
Yep. See you there. I think that's everything. If anyone wants to book a reading with me, you can check out my website. It's FionaEdgar.com. Or like you can add me on Facebook. Just search for Fiona Edgar. It's AEDGAR.
Thomas Sheridan Arts, mossuponstones.com, and it's all over YouTube, so you can just find me just about anywhere. I leave you with a thing that was said by the Sufi poet Rumi, and he said, out there beyond right doing and wrong doing is a field. I'll meet you there.
Beautiful. All right.
See you there.
Yep. Everybody take care. I will see you guys before long, I'm sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.